going to articulate from the outset why those others got a free pass and why Woodside didn't. I think it just gave such an opportunity so quickly for people just to sort of, you know, shrug their shoulders or write it off.
But it was jumping completely on the bandwagon, right? Because Woodside didn't just, this wasn't a sponsorship package they were negotiating now, and Woodside's going to come on as a sponsor next year. And people are like, hang on a second, we can't have that.
Yeah.
They've been there for that club, as you both would well know. Yeah. There's been some difficult times for the Fremantle Football Club.
2010.
Yes. So it's just this, what Woodside does and their business model isn't sort of a secret, but I guess, and my argument here is, I think you, if you say that you disagree with the fans who are saying that they shouldn't have that sponsorship, immediately you're sort of cast as some sort of climate change denier or something. And I'm trying to tell people that's not what I am at all. What I want people to understand is there's an energy transition and we need to be moving to renewables. We need to rely less on fossil fuels. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you yank everything. It doesn't mean Woodside's not important to the economy right now. And I just think there's a level of hysteria. It's become sort of loud and vitriolic, and it's just, I just shake my head.
Yeah, the other issue too, right, is that in this town in particular, right, you don't have to look far to find a friend or a family member who works in one of those extractive industries, right?
That's it.
And so you're automatically isolating, let's call it, at least half the population that either directly or indirectly owes their income to those sort of industries.
And yes, and then I also think you know people who might work in those companies, and those companies, they're not silly. They know what the future is holding too, and they are working pretty hard internally to work at. They've got teams. There's teams within Woodside working on new energy solutions. And I'm not trying to say, I'm not an apologist. I'm not trying to suggest that they're not producing oil and gas. I'm not saying that they're not producing fossil fuels.
And they deserve scrutiny like all big companies do, well and truly.
Correct. Mm. But it's just, it's hit this level, and I guess it goes, I mean, you laid this out correctly, Liam. It started with one particular player who was going to make a debut in a netball team who had some concerns about what a pioneer of the Pilbara said in the 1980s.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
And now we're into this
ridiculous,
like, furor.
I mean, you know, it'll get to the stage where, can I just say, I mean, how? what makes me amused is the multiplier effect as well. So how far down the rabbit burrow do you chase that virtue signalling? So do you go?
Well, apparently we chase it to something that you're – father or your grandfather or grandparents said, right, which you're suddenly accountable for. And that is just a concept that really disturbs me, that we're going to suddenly hold people to that sort of level of account.
But if we do, you know what happens. If we do, the sausage sizzle is in trouble because, you know, one of the largest emitters of methane are cows, and sausages come from cows. And when we go down to Bunnings, there's no way we can eat a sausage without thinking about the methane emission. And, I mean, it's just, that's off the menu.
Oh, my gosh, because tomorrow morning is Bunnings morning.
That's what I'm saying.
I hadn't thought about it, Liam.
Think about it.
You'll take the sausage sizzle out of my cold, dead hand, Liam.
To say nothing of the onions.
I just, and look, sorry, this is off target for sausage sizzles, but one of the things, I just wanted to get this off my chest, because one of the things that annoyed me through the week was lots of people like to sling a lot of things at Gina Rinehart. Obviously, I cover her a lot for the job I do with Rich List for the Financial Review. So I hear it and I see it all. What she doesn't do is with her philanthropy, she doesn't like to put out a press release. She doesn't like to stand from the rooftops and say, hey, I'm going to do this. But she thinks very, very long and hard about it. And she is one of the few people who has a lot of money who actually then specifically directs it into the cause that she wants. So she's not about writing a check because she's got a lot of money and just it's a feel-good thing and she should probably just do it for the community.
Yeah.
She really believes that she wants to help athletes. So the problem I've got when this all started is this isn't just some big corporate who's just throwing money and write a check and they can just reverse out of it altogether. She specifically makes sure it does not go to sports administrators, or she doesn't want this money to be wasted. She wants to build the success of athletes, and it needs to go to those people, and she instructs it to be that way. And she finds out there's some stuff going on and it's being wasted or it's going into admin. Like, she gets involved. So it's just such an unfortunate set of circumstances where you've got actually one person who's actually really trying to make it work for these netballers, and they're throwing it in her face.
Totally agree with you. I totally agree. And you know what the acid test is to prove what you're saying, Julianne? Have a look at the logo and what she's getting for what she's paying. So she puts up $15 million. And for that, netball players are wearing a logo with Hancock Prospecting. Now, who in the crowd or anybody on the receiving end of their advertising blurb is going to look at that logo and think,
ah, Hancock Prospect. I'll go out and buy some iron ore. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
What's the viewership amongst Chinese and Japanese steel mill owners of Australian netball matches?
Exactly, Paul.
Who count it on, you know, zero fingers, I reckon.
They are getting a million times more value out of that sponsorship than she's ever receiving. So she's not doing it as a business purpose in that sense.
No. At the risk, though, we all seem to be agreeing with each other on this, and that could be a bit boring. But well, one perspective I read today, which I thought was interesting, was by Gideon Haig in our paper today. He was making the point about Greg Matthews, the former cricketer. In his playing career, he did a promotion in which he spoke about giving up smoking, and he had a photo of him scrunching up a packet of cigarettes. He quit smoking. He was quite proud of that.
Yeah.
And he got pilloried for taking that stance, given cigarettes were a major sponsor of the Australian cricket team at that time. And the same sort of criticisms being made about, you know, Pat Cummins and others today were being made about Greg Matthews back then. And I just think I think a lot of people will say there's no room for politics and sport to mix. I don't really agree with that. I think politics and sport are inextricably linked anyway, and there's a long record of athletes using their position to bring about positive social change. And it's easy to dismiss it straight away. And it's important to sort of take a little step back and think, is there any merit in what's going on here?
But if you're going to do it, if you're going to take a position, then try to raise your IQ above 50 or 60. I mean, if you've got a multi-million dollar contract in the IPL and you are happy to go and you fly first class to India, the world's third biggest polluter, and then you stand on your digs about a gas company, I don't really think you are thinking too deeply.
The way to really take a stand would be to say, I'm only playing day matches. I'm not going to play under floodlights, which are powered by fossil fuels or something of that sort of nature, right? That's a level of sacrifice and commitment that resonates a lot more strongly than just a cheap shot.
25 minutes past 11. Let's go to the phones. And Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Liam. How are you today?
Good, mate. Yeah, what's happening?
Oh, good. Look, I just wanted to pass comment on, I totally agree with you guys there, where you're coming from. Let me tell you this, that Tokyo is the biggest city on earth. When I started going there was 42 million people living there, and now there's 37 and a half. I've been there a lot. Once I've half lived there. The gas thing. Now, look, in the year 2000, the Japanese government banned the use of diesel by cars in Tokyo. And Tokyo went from being a smoking like mad city to the most cleanest city on earth that I've ever been to. And you smell the roses in the middle of the city.
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to Ian. Hello, Ian.
Liam, is it true that Carmen Lawrence is going to sponsor the Dockers now with all of her WA Inc. money?
Oh, Ian.
Well, she called the Royal Commission, if that's the connection that you're talking about.
It's a good point, isn't it? Of course you are, yes. But it is a good point in terms of, and Paul Garvey was raising this earlier, it's like, where are you going to draw the line? So if this is our, a lot of these are on social issues, and I would argue that most people also probably don't agree that the gambling ads that are so prolific on the football coverage at the moment is a good thing, particularly if you're sitting watching your footy with your kids. I guess, does that mean you just turn it off? Like, if you're offended by it, should we just stop watching football altogether? Like, it's just, I don't know where to go with it.
I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it, right? And, I mean, the fast food is the same sort of thing, the casino royal commissions around the country, right? You don't have to look too far to find issues there. I mean, even the new sponsor today, Bankwest, right?
Yep.
They're owned by Commonwealth Bank.
Yeah.
Google, Commonwealth Bank, Royal Commission, wrongdoing, there's no shortage of issues there. So where is the squeaky clean sponsor? Yeah. Who's the ideal sponsor in the minds of people, right?
Yeah, it's a great question. Sean, good morning.